From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. All non-resident travelers to Alaska will be required to have a negative test for the coronavirus before they arrive in the state, beginning on August 11th. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced the change at a news conference on Tuesday.
We're not trying to make this difficult for folks to come here. We just want to make sure that we are taking care of Alaskans first.
Since early June, Alaska has asked non-residents arriving at airports in the state to have negative tests before they arrive, but it's allowed them to be tested at airports. Dunleavy says the state would continue to offer the tests to Alaskans leaving from and arriving back in the state, but it would no longer offer them to non-residents. Dunleavy pointed to the pressure on testing and personal protective equipment.
When the cases were lower than they are today, not just here in the state of Alaska, but across the globe, you had less of a restriction on supplies of testing materials and things like PPE. We need to use that for our own folks.
Dunleavy says the administration is still working out how it would enforce the new testing requirement. Governor Mike Dunleavy answered calls to impose more statewide COVID-19 mandates by saying those decisions should be made by local governments.
I know there's a lot of people that would love for me to mandate masks, bar closures, restaurant closures, but it just simply doesn't make sense when you have communities that have never seen the virus and may never see the virus.
Dunleavy said during a news conference yesterday that state health officials will work with municipalities to recommend steps they can take to mitigate the spread of the virus.
It just makes more sense from a resource perspective, from a focus perspective, and really from a local control perspective to have a partnership with the state, with the local elected officials and the local folks to be able to battle this virus.
Dunleavy pointed to other states that are allowing city and county governments to decide whether to impose mandates. He says Alaska has supported rural communities that have limited non-essential travel, but some of the state's largest local governments may not have the legal authority to impose health mandates. Alaska Municipal League Executive Director Nils Andreasen says the league is working with the administration on providing advice to municipal officials. But he says second-class boroughs, including Fairbanks North Star, Kenai Peninsula, Matanuska-Susitna, and Ketchikan Gateway boroughs, don't appear to have this authority.
I think for second-class boroughs, it's pretty clear that this is a challenging position, and that pretty clearly they can't issue a mandate.
The Department of Law is advising municipalities on their authority to make changes. Alaska State Troopers said today that an investigation into the fatal car wreck on Mitkoff Island is continuing. The crash, believed to have occurred late Monday or early Tuesday, was about 27 miles south of Petersburg. Authorities identified the deceased as 21-year-old Sigurd Decker and his 19-year-old sister Helen Decker, both of Wrangell. Ian Martin, a 29-year-old from Petersburg, and 37-year-old Dennis Lord of Elmira Heights, New York, were also killed. The four were crew members from two fishing vessels, the Magnus Martins and Vigilant, that had headed to Blind Slough on Mitkoff Island and were reported overdue on Tuesday. Troopers say they were all wearing seatbelts and airbags went off. They also say alcohol appears to be involved. They were still investigating the crash scene today. The Decker siblings were from a prominent fishing family in Wrangell. United Fishermen of Alaska has set up an online fundraiser. As of midday today, more than 500 donors have contributed around $70,000 for the Decker family. Several Alaska Republican lawmakers are campaigning against fellow GOP State Representative David Eastman. They blame him for the failure of Republicans in 2018 to take control of the state's House of Representatives. The Anchorage Daily News reported members of the House Republican minority campaigned over the weekend in Eastman's Wasilla District for his GOP primary opponent. The group went door-to-door trying to garner support for challenger Jesse Sumner in the August 18th primary. Eastman defended his positions in the legislature. He says he has a 100% conservative voting record and consistently opposed the Democratic takeover of the House. On Monday, the U.S. Department of Interior announced it will open its first office dedicated to investigating cold cases in what has been called an epidemic of murdered and missing indigenous people. There will be 7 of these offices nationwide. Alaska's office will be in Anchorage and opens next month. In a related effort, the U.S. Justice Department has appointed a former tribal judge and educator to be the state's coordinator on the dozens and dozens of cases in Alaska. KTOO's Matt Miller has this report.
Ingrid Cumberledge's new job title is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Coordinator. She was a teacher and principal in the Aleutians East Borough School District and also served as tribal judge who presided over child protection and protective order cases. Her new job will be helping communities develop response plans for whenever someone is murdered or goes missing. She was appointed to the position by the U.S. Attorney's Office, part of the Justice Department. U.S. Attorney Brian Schroeder says Cumberledge will also help investigators sift through the state's missing persons database.
It's challenging, though. That can include things like missing fishermen off of ships or aviation accidents. So trying to comb through all of those, all that data, and come out with, you know, the lists of people who could be missing because or murdered because of foul play, you know, that's a difficult task.
That work will be important as the new federal office in Anchorage gears up to tackle cold cases involving missing and murdered American Indians and Alaska Natives. Deborah O'Gara is optimistic and says it's a sign that the issue is being taken seriously.
Attorney General's office and the Department of Justice is at least willing to take some steps in helping to remedy the situation that has just devastated so many communities and families.
O'Gara is with the Fairbanks-based Alaska Native Women's Resource Center and herself served as a tribal judge and state magistrate judge in Southeast Alaska. She says there are several factors behind Alaska's high number of cases. Most stem from the racism, sexism, and misogyny ingrained into institutions. O'Gara says the authorities have routinely shown outright disregard for missing or murdered Indigenous women.
The other problem is that even when there is law enforcement in a village, in a small village, what's happened is that some of those law enforcement are perpetrators themselves, having been already fired, and some of those stories are coming out.
O'Gara says another problem unique to Alaska is that it may take days for investigators to get to a village by plane or snow machine. Investigations can slow down or stall as a result. Cumberledge's position is funded for at least a year. It comes out of $1.5 million set aside by the Justice Department to hire coordinators in 11 states and partially stems from U.S. Attorney General William Barr's visit to Alaska last year. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
A Juneau man walked into a little mystery recently on the trail. I helped solve it and filed this story about weird signage, outhouse maintenance, and where cabin rental fees go. It was July 12th, and Roald Simonson had just started hiking the Windfall Lake Trail in Juneau. In the middle of the path, there was a single orange traffic cone with a stick and a laminated sheet of paper stapled to it.
It said, "Poop pumping, July 12, 13. Hike at your own risk." And then it had the Forest Service medallion insignia under it.
Hike at your own risk. Risk of what? That was the entire sign.
I have no idea what that could possibly mean.
He looked around. Nothing out of the ordinary except the sign.
I would say that it only raised questions and didn't answer any. The sign had a warning and nothing to tell you exactly what is going on.
Full disclosure, Simonson and I are friends. That's how we ended up talking about this sign. This trail, plus the cabin and an outhouse a few miles down it, are in the Tongass National Forest, which the U.S. Forest Service maintains. The Forest Service confirmed, yeah, the sign was legit.
Well, in retrospect, I can see where that sign probably led to a lot of confusion.
Brad Orr is in charge of the Juneau Ranger District. He says the Forest Service has four or five public cabins in Juneau that are heavily used.
And Windfall Lake happens to be one of the most popular because it's an easy hike. It doesn't gain much elevation.
Which also means the outhouse gets heavily used. It's built over a vault. Before it fills up, the Forest Service hires contractors to pump the sewage out into barrels and haul it away. But the Windfall Lake outhouse, and others like it, are several miles from the road. You can't just pull a septic truck up to it.
They have it down to a pretty good science, but there is aircraft in the air, and, you know, we like to alert the public that that's going on, not that there's any particular hazard associated with it.
There he is.
See you guys.
The Forest Service hires helicopters to haul poop. On the ground, there are two crews supporting this operation for another popular Forest Service rental, the Dan Moeller Cabin on Douglas Island. One crew hiked to the cabin the day before to prep. They plan to be up there for 2 weeks, dealing with the outhouse today, but also cleaning, servicing the stove, clearing the roof, and refinishing the cabin's exterior. And then there's this crew.
So get a better, clearer picture understanding.
On a service road near a trailhead. They prep the cabin crew's supplies in several heavy-duty bags, ready to be hooked up to the helicopter's sling. One load has a bunch of sanitized 80-gallon barrels for the outhouse. Rick Daughtry manages cabins and developed recreation areas for the Forest Service.
Yeah, as you can see, we're doing multiple tasks today. This gear, some of this gear, like the wood and all that, that won't get interacted with till 2 weeks from now. But like you're saying, we're trying to capitalize, you know, on those ups and down trips.
The crew says every Forest Service cabin gets serviced like this at least once a year, weather permitting.
Copy that. Still in the clouds?
The clouds are lifting. We can see down the valley, but the ceiling isn't quite where it needs to be yet.
The clouds end up descending. Turns out the helicopter we spotted earlier wasn't the one working for the Forest Service. They end up scrubbing the flight. However, Recreation Programs Manager Ed Grossman did share another insight about the strange sign Simonson walked into that started all this.
Didn't mention helicopters because people are attracted to the show.
Hmm.
So we're trying to keep, you know, if it's a pumping human waste event, that usually doesn't draw a crowd.
By the way, taxpayers, except for some minor overhead costs, we're not really on the hook for all this work on these cabins. Cabin user fees cover the helicopters, propane for heat, materials for renovations, the crews doing the work, and outhouse maintenance. Simonson says he never thought about that connection.
I just thought toilets up in cabins were just holes in the ground that worked forever.
Now, he says he has an appreciation for the thought and work that goes into maintaining cabins. And in weather news, an Alaska weather expert says the Juneau area is on track to break summer rainfall records. The Juneau Empire reported National Weather Service meteorologist Cody Moore says Juneau had already reached its summer rain average of 13 inches by Sunday. The last record-breaking summer for rain was 2014, when Juneau had 14 inches. Moore says Juneau is likely to break that high mark if the current weather pattern continues. Last year's summer was extremely dry, with 10 inches of rain. And finally, local parks officials have closed Twin Lakes to swimming after detecting high levels of fecal bacteria. The lakes are tested weekly. National Weather Service forecast calls for clear skies tonight. Aurora forecast from the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks is a 2, low. Low-level displays may be visible low on the northern horizon from Juneau. Forecast for Thursday, sunny, highs around 80. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.